The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
High dropout rates among apprentices may mean the government's housing targets are at risk. That's according to a survey of 600 apprentices in 21 different trades by the Trade Union Connect. The survey reveals a crisis of poor pay and long delays in completions of apprenticeships. Now, to tell us more, Paddy Kavanagh, General Secretary of the Trade Union Connect, is on the line. Paddy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat, and thanks for having us, and good morning to your listeners.
Now, tell us, first of all, how the apprenticeship system actually works. When do people sign on to do it? How much coursework is there? How much practical work is there? And at what stage are they paid?
Well, we'll start at the beginning. The apprenticeship is a four-year, generally the trades are 4 years.
Yep.
Apprenticeships. The profile of the apprentice has changed greatly over the last number of years. In my time, you would have started an apprenticeship at 16, 15, 16, 17. The average apprentice now starts at 21. 11% will have a child before their apprenticeship is completed. Almost 20% will be either renting or paying a mortgage. So the profile has completely changed. Of those 4 years, you would do, it's progressive. You can't, there's seven different phases. Phase 1, 3, 5, and 7 are on the job, and phase 2, 4, and 6 are, phase 2 is in an ETB, and 4 and 6 are in a technical university.
Now, to get an apprenticeship, do you have to find an employer at the very beginning of the process?
Yes, you must have an employer to be an apprentice.
So you're at the mercy, if that company goes wallop in the meantime before you finish your modules, what happens to your apprenticeship?
Well, your apprentice, generally at the moment, and it is quite common sometimes for an apprentice to be laid off or an employer might not have any work, but then you would secure, look to secure employment with another employer, and you would pick the apprentice up there at that stage. If you're in college when that happens, well, then you have the duration of the college or the ETB course to find that alternative employer. But also, as a union, we would help apprentices to find alternative employers in that situation as well.
Now, you have surveyed some 600 different apprentices across 21 trades. What are they telling you about the difficulty of the apprenticeship life?
Well, they're telling us a number of things, but the standout, the two main standouts for us, or three, is first of all, 78% of apprentices believe that the department is, they have no confidence to believe the department is doing a bad job for them as an apprentice. 95% say they believe that the starting rate should be at least a minimum wage to attract people into the industries. And that is an issue.
Yeah.
And 46% say they have no workplace assessor. And that is quite alarming because at all stages of the apprenticeship, on and off the job, you should be assessed in order to progress. And that's a concern.
Now, let's talk about each one of them, that the department is not doing a particularly good job. Is it the Department of Further Education or is it a different department that looks after apprentices?
Well, it's Forward and Higher Education is responsible for the off-the-job training, etc., and the apprenticeship system. And they say due to the delays over the last number of years, everyone knows there was a huge backlog due to COVID, but the backlog was growing anyway. There was a shortage of places for block releases and for your ETB course. Yeah. And you were in a situation where a four-year apprentice, we have a large number of apprentices who took 5, 6, and in some cases even 7 years to finish an apprenticeship. That should have been 4 years.
Now, there was some talk also of a delay in the final registration. In other words, where you move from being an apprentice to being a full-time employee and therefore getting the rate for the job.
Well, as I said earlier on, the apprenticeship is progressive and you must go through the phases. So if there maybe there could be a delay in the employer signing you off. But generally, we don't find that being a huge issue. But we do find that they do have to wait till the qualification for this, or for the pass-out ceremony for certificates, etc.
Now tell me, as you progress through these phases, does the pay remain the same or does it increase with the experience that's been garnered by the apprentice on the way?
Well, pay is progressive. It goes up for each year. But the concern we have is the ability to attract people into the trade. When you take, for instance, that the first year for pay for electrician is 868, or a craft and construction is 741, that is hugely below the minimum wage. And even employers are telling us that they are having issues attracting people into the trades because of the low entry rate.
Now, if the employers are having such difficulty, why can't they jack up the rates? I mean, these are minimum rates laid down, I presume. Nothing to stop the employers paying more.
They're minimum, but at the same time, you do have what's called sector employment orders. And while they are minimum, yes, people are concerned about the rates of pay. And unfortunately, there is trends in industry. I mean, one thing came out of this survey for us was that apprentices told us that 25% of them were actually being paid even below those minimum rates.
Okay, and they take that work on because they need to get an employer. Is that it?
Well, they do, but they also have a love of the trade. They want to complete their apprenticeship. They want to have a trade. I mean, once you qualify, it is a good career path for people. So they do like guys who like to be mechanics, electricians, plumbers, girls who like to be as well. And they see that as a good career path, a good progression, a good trade to have. And they are willing to make certain sacrifices. But at the same time, they're telling us that the off-the-job allowances, for instance, are just ridiculous. I'm trying to live while you're on those block releases, etc. For instance, the accommodation allowance hasn't risen in 20 years. The state pays an accommodation allowance for apprentices who have to stay away from home for those courses, and it's €70 a week, €69.90. The mean allowance is 80 cents a day.
So you're not going to be able to afford accommodation virtually anywhere
unless
in the country.
Unless you can live on a bag of potato or...
Yeah.
No, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
So, what is Connect looking for from the government? Because the government wants to hit its housing targets, so it desperately needs as many apprentices as possible.
Well, we would call, based on what our apprentices are telling us and what we know ourselves, there's a number of things we would look for. One is that the entry pay rate into apprenticeships should be at least the minimum wage. The minimum wage has only two exceptions to the minimum wage, and that is family members and apprentices. Every other worker in the state is covered by the minimum wage.
Okay, so if you're working in your daddy's pub, he can pay you as little as he likes.
He can, yes, exactly.
But apprentices are also, okay.
So that, yes, but apprentices are employed, paying taxpayers, so working in industry, and it should be at least the minimum wage.
Now, does that have implications for the progression of apprentice pay? Because if you start at the lowest level and you jack it up from, say, €8 to €13, €14, whatever it might be, then does that have implications for all the rest of the progression throughout the apprenticeship?
Hey, this is Buck Joffrey, and if you are a high-paid professional looking to break free from the golden handcuffs, listen closely. Now, I went from being a busy surgeon to a real estate investor with over $2 billion in assets under management. And now I'm on a mission to share the wealth-building secrets of the ultra-rich with you. Imagine legally paying little or no taxes, shielding your assets from risk, and investing in distressed real estate during the current real estate meltdown. Did you know, for example, that right now, the high interest rates have created a rare chance in the market to buy discounted apartment buildings? By seizing this moment, you can position yourself for massive gains when rates inevitably drop. And I'll tell you what, that is exactly what we do in my podcast community together. Don't settle for conventional wisdom. Let me show you how the economy works and how you can use financial education to achieve true financial freedom. Tune into the Wealth Formula Podcast with me, Buck Joffrey, and take control of your financial destiny.
Oh, at the moment, there's a percentage. The pay is based on a percentage of the qualified rate, and we could continue with that in the later years. But it's just to attract people into industry in the first year in particular, right? It has to be set at minimum wage to get people in. This is what apprentices are telling us. The other concern we have is, and this is going to lead really into impact on the number of craft workers in construction and the housing issue we have in this country at the moment. The government is looking to move to what's called employer-led consortiums to run particular apprenticeships. And at the moment, the dropout rate in apprenticeships is 20%. Now, that is particularly high, you would say. But having said that, third level college would be 15, 14,
yeah,
15%.
So it's not that different to the dropout.
However, in the UK, when they moved to the employer-led model, the dropout rate rocketed from 17% to 47%.
Now, explain the difference between the employer consortium model you're talking about versus what's happening at the moment.
Well, the new model, the state model as it stands, is it's a state-run system. There are statutory requirements, etc., and the quality assurance, that's all set in place. And an employer take on an apprentice has to fulfil certain sets of criteria as regards training, etc. Mm-hmm. And the apprenticeships are reviewed every year and designed to meet the needs of industry.
Yeah.
The consortia-led is basically a number of employers can come together and design an apprenticeship for themselves. And currently at the moment, there's 25 craft trades, but there is over 70 apprenticeships. Now, and we don't object to the growth of apprenticeships. If you take Germany, there's 200 apprenticeships.
Yeah.
But they're all underpinned by statutory legislation. So if I'm a shop clerk in Bonn or Dusseldorf or Cologne, I will get the same pay. But with these new consortium-led apprenticeships, in you could be in a company, two apprentices start the same day, could be on different rates of pay. And that's just cheap labour, and that's just incredible, right? That could be happening.
And where is that move coming from? Is it coming from the department, or is it coming from the employers?
It's been driven by the department, and by the department, basically. And some employers, now most employers don't want this system. If you look at the craft system, of the 27,000 apprentices, over 24,000 of those are craft workers, right,
yeah,
in the trades. And all those employers are completely happy with the system we have. In fact, it's a world leader. We're one of the best performing nations per capita in the world skills in the trades. And in fact, we have employers from Canada, Australia, and the States who have visited our union looking to take Irish craft workers.
So your message on this possible change is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's a world leader. It's exemplary. The employers accept it exemplary. International companies from around the world accept it exemplary. And quite frankly, the employers we talk to in Canada and the States and Australia are amazed that we're actually tinkering with it.
Just one thing.
This is the UK model. This is the UK model, which has practically led to the collapse of the apprenticeship.
Okay. You said one thing at the beginning that a lot of people would be maybe raising an eyebrow at. You said that some people who are doing a four-year apprenticeship might end up with a child and a mortgage at the end of it. I mean, what kid at 22, 23 can really afford a mortgage in any sphere? Never mind apprentices.
If you look at the birth rates in Ireland, the age people have children, right? So if you follow those statistics, there will be a large number of apprentices will have a child by the time they're 23, 24, 25, right? That's just the way of the world. We're saying to get these type of people into apprenticeships, you would have to give them a wage they can start off on and expect to support a child. Some will rent because the rates... And we make no excuse for this. We've set the rates very well as a union. We have national agreements with employers. We have SEOs, and we have the rates. And people will come out at the time with a good apprenticeship, a good standard of pay, a good standard of living, and a good career for the future. And we don't make any apologies for that as a trade union. However, if you look at the demographics and the profile of people nowadays, you will not attract people into an industry. It would be very difficult to attract people into an industry that's half or 70% of the minimum wage.
Okay, Paddy, that doesn't seem like an unfair thing to look for. Paddy, thank you very much for joining us. Paddy Kavanagh, General Secretary of Connect. All the comments coming in, apprenticeships are just an excuse for cheap labour, and at the end of 4 years earning buttons, they can let you go. Not great. My son really struggled to find a placement. That's another barrier. 4 years of bad pay is why people can't afford to do it. You can earn more than the minimum wage at McDonald's after 6 months, says another. I served an apprenticeship years ago, 5 years of my life earning very little. But as soon as you get to the stage where you're due extra money, it's a whole different ballgame. Pat, traineeships are a great alternative to apprenticeship courses. Ours is 29 weeks at the Bicycle Engineering Academy, which lets you design and hand manufacture a bespoke bicycle, giving lots of transferable skills. After 29 weeks, you get a mechanical engineering diploma, an industry that needs employees, so straight into work or onto year two of a 3-year degree. No level of education is needed for entry. It's quick and meaningful for everyone, not a 4-year slog. That's Marty, www.bea.ie. Doing an apprenticeship should be treated and sold the same way as getting any degree. Then they would look at it differently during school. No one else is getting paid to do a degree. There have been long-time issues for apprentices, lack of proper support in some of the colleges for those with dyslexia, no effort to give oral exams and reams of notes, some illegible, government rhetoric in ads, but poor support actually on the ground. Sorry, but who, when asked, would you be happy with their boss, their pay or their conditions? The truth is employers are sick of entitled young people. Give employers a subsidy for each year. We put up with them. That would definitely help. So apprenticeships are an alternative to college. College students do not get paid at all. I didn't see the problem of low pay while you are learning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.